All right, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. We're out here in the UK, and today I'm with one of my favorite up-and-coming UK superstars, H.
Respect, my guy.
How you feeling, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
I feel like you are part of there's like a tradition in UK rap where it's like, if you got the skills and you can come out and just put out something that is like really, really intense, hardcore, that you can like kind of overnight go from 0 to 60. Like,
yeah,
it feels
yeah,
like
yeah.
Your career blew up really fucking fast just on the strength of putting out one insane freestyle. And obviously you've been following it up, but did you know that you had the capacity to do that when you put out that video?
I didn't think it was going to be that particular video. To be honest with you, I knew stuff was going to happen. I knew I was going to be I'm going to be bigger than I am now. I just didn't know it happened that fast. Like you said, it was just rapid. It was just like, I woke up one morning and my followers were just going up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was like a mad overnight thing, but I didn't expect it to be that video. I thought it was going to be a different one.
Definitely. How long had you been grinding before that happened? Like working on the rapper concept?
About a year before that, I was putting videos out. Probably about 2 years, but not too seriously. Just like messing about, you know what I'm saying? But then like, the year before that, I started taking things a bit seriously. Started doing proper music videos instead of just freestyles on the road and that. And then that freestyle that you're on about, Straight Rhymes, that was actually supposed to be just to start my own channel off.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying? That's why I put it on my channel. Put it on my channel, get some subscribers, and then drop my single. That was the plan.
Because that's kind of the cheat code to blowing up in this scene, it seems like, is to go on one of the GRM channel
Madness. Yeah, the big platforms, and it does help. It does help people, definitely. I've been on GRM a couple of times and that, but like, I just felt like I'm the type of artist that I can build my own my own things, you know what I'm saying, my own little lane. So the plan with that was to just put Straight Rhymes on my own channel, get some subscribers, to build up the tension for the single. And because Straight Rhymes done what it did, that single never came out.
Right.
The single still sat there on the private link on YouTube.
Was the single similar in style, or was it a little bit more commercial versus that just being straight
to be
raps?
To be honest, you can find it somewhere on YouTube. It's called Waver.
Okay.
H Waver. It's out, but the video never came out.
Okay.
Because Straight Rhymes took over what that would have done.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? So the freestyle done the job.
Definitely.
Basically.
So how was your wireless experience? And 1 year ago today, could you have imagined that you might be playing something as big as wireless?
It was sick. 1 year ago, I was there last year.
Okay.
Just chilling in the VIP section, just thinking, oh, one day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then literally yesterday, I woke up, and obviously, I already knew I was coming out for Jay Huss and Young T and Bugs there, and obviously AJ Tracer, big up AJ. So I knew I was going to be there today.
So they all brought you out?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
nice.
So originally it was just AJ. AJ just got on to me and said, yo, if you're there on Sunday, come out with me. So I said, yeah, calm, boom. And then Young T and Bugs there shouted me and said, yo, we're coming out for Jay Huss to do Strike Me Your Pose. Do you want to come out? So I said, yeah, calm. So that was two performances set up, one on the main stage and one on the Pepsi Max stage. And then I got up yesterday morning and just got a phone call saying, yo, someone's dropped out. I think it was a guy from the US, Polo G.
Oh, Polo G didn't
come.
I didn't even know that. Okay, but
yeah,
I didn't see
come.
Him. That makes sense.
So they said, do you want to fill that slot? So I said, yo, chat to my people in it.
Yeah.
And it got sorted and I got out of bed, got changed, went to wireless, come out the car, ran to the stage and shut it down, and then ran off.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
when you think about it, because I know a lot of like the UK fans are probably like at wireless, they're excited to see all these big US names and stuff, but like, how do you, like when I was watching Future bring out all kinds of local acts and stuff, and it just seems like the crowd goes crazy for the local stuff, and like, I don't know, it seems like the UK scene is strong in that way, in the sense that like, the UK knows that they need to stick together in order to make their artists bigger and to support the big songs and stuff. Like, what was the love like that you
100%.
Were getting?
To be honest, yeah, before I went on stage, I thought it was going to be stiff because they were expecting my man.
See,
do you know
you
what
go,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, I don't know what it's going to be like. And I came out and it went mental.
Yeah.
So it was sick. But yeah, I think people are just like, I don't know. It seems like people are proud of where they're from in it round here.
Yeah.
And if they can support their own, they will do. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
And yeah, man, it went off. And I think because it makes it better when people don't expect you to come on. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think I was the last person everyone expected to come out that day.
Definitely.
And yeah, man, it just went crazy. But yeah, everyone shows love.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Yeah. Do you feel like being from the American scene, it feels like, you know, white rappers get put in a certain box a lot of times
and
maybe aren't like 100% accepted. Do you feel like you've dealt with any of that? Because it seems like you've been pretty embraced by a lot of the non-white rappers in the scene and shit.
I just think, not even me personally, like bare people, but I just think it's beyond that now, innit? It's just past that. You get me? That's not even a thing. I understand what you mean, like in the US where people are in certain boxes.
Yeah.
But now you can't put me in no box. Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think people fuck with you because you're just very like authentically yourself. Like, even in that first song that blew up, it's like you're making it clear. You're like you say something about a gun, but you're like I don't got a gun. Yeah. You know?
I think it's clear that I'm not trying to be something I'm not, in it. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think that's why people just accept it the way it is. And then, or like when people say like, yo, you're hard for a white rapper, it's like, nah, I'm just hard. Do you know what I'm saying? That's my answer to that one. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, man, I don't think, it's not like that here, I don't think, anymore. Unless you are a white rapper who's trying to be something that you're not, then you might get put in that box.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But nah, not me.
That's tight. So tell me about where you grew up.
I grew up in Manchester, North Manchester, Moston.
I've never been to Manchester, but I noticed that one of the interviews I seen you doing, she was like, could you ever date a girl who wasn't from Manchester? And you were like, yeah. But that, I was like, that made me really start wondering what Manchester girls were like or what it was like.
Nah, Manchester's certified for girls. Mm-hmm. You get me? Like, yeah, ask anyone.
Were they a little trashy or a little bit ghetto or what?
Depends what part of Manchester you want to go to, innit?
I want to go to the trashy part.
But yeah, nah, like, Manchester's good for girls, man. I didn't even say it like that, you know what I'm saying? But Manchester's popping, you need to come. Bear love there. Like, the thing you said about supporting your own, no disrespect to anyone in London, but I think that happens even more in Manchester than it does in London, do you know what I'm saying?
This is like its own scene in a way, because it's even smaller.
It's its own little scene. Everyone's behind each other. Everyone supports each other. And yeah, man, it's a nice vibe up there, man. Like,
yeah.
It's even a different vibe to London, you know what I'm saying? So like from the US to London to Manchester, it's like three different vibes, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's calm, man. It's calm.
What about like, just, I'm interested in what goes on in like the hoods of England. Like, was there a lot of like, what are the crimes or the illicit behavior that a young kid is likely to fall into where you grew up? Like, what's the bad path that people end up taking sometimes?
I think it's the same everywhere. Obviously, this gun thing, obviously, it's a lot easier to get a gun in America than it is in Manchester. Mm. Well, in England, but like,
that's why we're stabbing out here.
Yeah, that's what it is here, and it's just better stabbings and that. But it's just the same as everywhere else, isn't it? Like, yeah, man, this place, like, Manchester was called Gunchester for a period of time because there was bare shootings. Mm. That was like in like 1999.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying? 2003.
It's super hard to get a gun.
I wouldn't say it's hard.
Yeah.
But it's not. Yeah.
The penalties if you do get caught with one are super serious.
Yeah, yeah, you don't want to get caught with a gun.
Yeah, definitely.
Nah, definitely not. But yeah, man, it's like the same as everywhere else, isn't it? Obviously, there's certain areas in Manchester lead you down certain paths.
Did you think that there was ever a risk of you sort of going down a bad path before the rap thing, or were you going to have a boring regular job and all that shit?
To be quite honest, I was never ever going to have no regular job. That's not to say I would have went down a bad path, but I definitely wouldn't. It definitely wouldn't have been the perfect one.
Right.
Because I didn't know. I went to college, innit? I went to college, but I hated it. So I dropped out and I went to work, but I hated it again and I left that.
Right.
So I didn't really have many options, but I sort of knew that music would happen, innit?
Right.
But if not, then it probably would have been something else. But I had faith in music.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy just to think, like, that, you know, just that your star was able to shine through that one performance enough that people got really interested? Was it like an overnight reaction when that song came out that people just really started to like jump on your shit immediately?
You know what happened? Yeah, I dropped the video and it just done okay. It just done like any one of my other videos was doing. And then I think it was like the day after it dropped, like a full 24 hours after, GRM shared it on their Instagram page. And so did, do you know what I'm Just Bait?
Mm-mm.
No, I'm Just Bait, it's like another platform, but it's like more like an Instagram thing than a YouTube thing.
I gotta check that out.
And yeah, they both shared it, and then that made it go mad on Instagram, and then I started getting bare more followers, and then as my followers are going up, the views are going up on YouTube, so it was sort of like just a natural thing. I didn't pay for no promotion or anything, you know what I mean? Because GRM wanted the video on their channel, and we was like, nah, because we're trying to boost our channel at the minute,
right?
But we'll give you the next one because they shared it on their Instagram page. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was sort of like a little bit like a favor for a favor, innit? You share my video that's on my channel,
yeah,
and my next tune we'll put on GRM,
right?
And that's what happened, and then it just blew up.
Crazy.
It blew up. So yeah, and then I think it was on like I don't know 20,000 views or something. And then the day after, it just went up, and now it's on like 11 million or something, 12 million.
Bananas. I noticed, is Montclair like your favorite thing to waste your money on?
Head to toe. It seems right like now, that, right? Doesn't it?
Head to toe, and that shit ain't cheap.
I think it is my favorite brand.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, but do you know what? It seems, I'm not even that guy though. I'm not even flashy like that. Mm. I just like to look nice. I'm not even.
Yeah, because you still look low key. You'd have to take a nice hard look to be like, oh, okay, he's dripping right
it's
now.
It's not too bad. I ain't got no watch or chain or nothing.
Are you
or,
planning on doing that?
Nah.
No?
Someone came up to me at Wireless yesterday and said, why don't you wear watches? You've got money now. And I was like, nah, I don't want nothing on my wrist.
Do you feel like you really have money now, or do you think that people assume that you have more money than you do?
I reckon people think I've got more money than I do.
Mm.
But I don't know, because I don't know how much money people think I've got. But yeah, certain people definitely think I've got a lot more money than they have.
Mm.
Some people think you get a fucking pound for every view you get on YouTube. You know, them ones there. Like,
they see millions of views and they think you got millions of dollars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not that. But now, we're all right, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're getting there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're getting in a way that you want to get it. Like, are you just 100% loving your life right now because you're finally getting to, like, just be yourself for a living and actually just
definitely
do what you want?
Definitely. This is exactly what I asked for, innit?
Yeah.
Like, exactly.
I know you grew up listening to a lot of American rap. Is that, like, a transition that you think about? Is, like, how do I put something together that could possibly appeal to that overseas audience, or is it just the thing where you're like, no, I'm just gonna keep being me and doing my thing?
Yeah, do you know what I think? I don't think breaking America here, I don't think it will ever work if you try and sound like an American, because it's nothing new, is it, to American people, you know what I mean? So I don't know, it's gonna be something fresh and something like authentic that is going to break America, because you're not going to want to listen to an English version
of white Migos.
Do you know what I'm saying? Why would you listen to an English version of Migos when you've got Migos?
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? That's how I see it.
And I feel like Skepta is probably the dude who's made the most inroads into the American scene.
Yeah, 100. And he's not trying to be an American.
Right.
Whatsoever. But he's just spitting bars.
I feel like he found a way to sort of, you know, because you can just understand everything that he says, and he maybe like doesn't necessarily do as many things as he could to maybe sound as English as possible. Like, he does manage to sort of toe the line where everybody in America can understand what he's saying, but he still feels authentically English.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. I think you just need to just be yourself in it, and then if America fought with it, they fought with it. If not, go back to the drawing board, innit?
Yeah.
But I think I'll do this America thing. I'm not trying to like become the biggest here and then go to America and start from scratch again.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we're just trying to build it all together at once.
Yeah. And with the way YouTube it works these days is that you see all the time that there could be an artist from a different country and stuff. We haven't necessarily seen somebody from the UK break through in like a really extreme way like that, but I feel like there's all kinds of artists from like different markets that will end up blowing up when you look at like the Latin American scene and stuff.
Yeah, it's all over. Yeah, it just
could blow up if you just have the right song or you just hit it the right way. But does that make you want to like do songs that are maybe a little bit more commercial? Like a lot, it's kind of almost a tradition, I feel like, in the UK where dudes will start off doing like really hardcore raps and then as they develop they start to go in the direction of like making songs that could get on the radio and stuff.
I'll be honest, I thought, I've got a song called Wait. I don't know if you've heard Wait yet.
I'm not sure.
I thought that was going to touch America.
Okay.
I was totally wrong.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? You just don't know. That's, I genuinely just think it will just happen. Like, if it's meant to happen, it'll happen, innit? I thought Wait would like touch America. I was thinking about putting it on World Star and that.
Oh, really? Wow. There you go.
But obviously not.
Do you think that would be looked at as a weird move to go and get your video on World Star by your hardcore fan base?
I thought it would definitely draw attention.
Yeah.
And I even said to my guy, to my producer when he was in the studio, I said, yo, let's just slap this on Worldstar and see what happens.
Yeah.
But then, like, I had a reality check.
Did you sign to a label yet?
Yeah, I'm signed, but, yeah.
How's that going?
Good. Oh, yeah? Good, yeah.
They give you a lot of resources?
Signed for an EP.
Okay.
EP's out in August.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
How's that going?
All good.
Yeah?
Yeah, all done.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
What's your vice of choice out here? I feel like there's quite a different scene in terms of what people like to do to relax. I seen you possibly with some sort of cigarette in your hand at a wireless festival.
Some sort of cigarette.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what was going on in that or anything, but
I don't smoke cigarettes though.
Oh no.
Spliff.
You'll acknowledge that?
Yeah.
I don't want the fucking cops to rush in here or anything if we start talking about spliffs.
Do you know what? Yeah, I'd rather be known for doing that than smoking a cigarette. I don't smoke cigarettes. Yeah.
I've been smoking some cigarettes out here and it's disgusting. I don't know what the fuck people see in that.
Yeah, you've been smoking cigarettes here?
Yeah. Not just, in America, sometimes though. I just won't have time to roll a spliff and I'll just...
You get a cheeky one.
Smoke a cigarette and it's just... Ugh.
Yeah, I don't fuck with cigarettes.
Yeah, it's a foul habit.
That's not for me. But yeah, I just do... Yeah. I'm never at home anymore, you get me? So, I just... When I get the chance, I just have my smoke and just chill.
It makes you feel like you're at home for a moment.
Yeah. But you know what? Even if I was at home... The only thing I'd do different, I'd probably just go pick one of the Mandem up and do exactly the same.
Right.
And just smoke and go for some food.
So you almost never go back home now?
I try to come home as much as possible, innit? But I'm home for a day and then I've got to go somewhere else.
Right.
Like tomorrow. I'm home tomorrow.
Where are you going tomorrow?
Manchester.
Oh, okay.
Going to Manchester tomorrow. I've got a photo shoot, but then I've got a little day off because it's my guy's birthday. Okay. So I'm going to go do whatever there and then I'm back in London the day after.
Right, to just keep working? Like what kind of stuff?
Working, photo shoots, interviews, everything, studio sessions. It's because my EP is coming now.
Yeah.
We're just sort of like getting everything done. Yeah. Because I've got bare shows all over, so we've not really had time to promote anything. So I'm just trying to get all these shows over and done with and then start promoting everything.
Definitely.
And then when I'm down there and I get little days like this, I'll just come do obviously things like this.
When you go back to Manchester, is it intense walking around? Like, everybody knows you, everybody's excited to see you?
Yeah, I can't really walk around too much. Really? I kind of, in my area, like my area, I can walk around and that no one's going to come start like asking for pictures and that because they know me anyway,
right. Really.
But go to town in the centre and that is all mad. I can't walk anywhere.
Have you dealt with like haters much in a sense?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who maybe aren't appreciative of seeing you make such big moves.
Yeah, I think people are just weird, in it. People don't even know why they feel like that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, man might feel some type of way because I'm doing something and you ask them why and they say, oh.
Right. Well, it's got to feel weird for them because they're looking at you making big moves, making a name for yourself, having money and shit, and then they're like, well, what the fuck is the difference between me and him?
Yeah.
And the difference is just a little sliver of talent that you happen to have. You guys might be super similar,
but
you, A, the talent and the hard work. It's like you put yourself out there because you could have very easily fucked up and be just another guy with a couple of videos on YouTube that didn't go anywhere, but 100. You actually put your ass on the line.
Yeah, you've got to keep going, man. You got to just like you say about these haters, you just got to not listen to what anyone says, you get me, and just and do your thing, because you just got to think, to every two haters, there's 200 fans, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, there's always more fans than haters, always. Yeah, man. I don't watch none of them people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I did notice in the UK, though, is that a lot of times I'll be watching somebody's video and I'll think the video is so hard, and then I'll just click through to read the comments, and oh my God, because English people are so goddamn funny and they love to tear somebody apart. And sometimes it can be the hardest video and the comments will still be so funny.
You can't please everyone. You can never please. That's what I've learned. That's the one thing I've learned from all this, that mm-hmm. you're not going to please everyone.
Right.
There's always going to be a dislike or a bad comment or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. Is there any slang that you could put me on from the UK that I should know about? Because I'm slowly starting to build up my mental Rolodex.
So there's some Manchester slang, yeah. So,
yeah, okay, I need that. Yep.
So your brother or your sibling, or it could even be your close friend, yeah, you call him our kid.
Our kid?
Yeah, our kid.
Okay.
Yeah.
How would you spell that?
Like, O-U-R.
Oh, like our kid, but you just sort of, that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So like, what's happening, our kid? You know what I mean? Like that. Yeah, man, you're my guy, you know what I'm saying? Or you could even call it your sister.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's our kid, that. Okay. Meaning that's my sibling.
That's our kid. Like, it's just showing a little bit of endearment to them.
Yeah, that's like basically, it's like, I don't know. It's weird. If you was from Manchester, you'd understand. Like, you can imagine you like speaking from your mum's point of view. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right. Like, yeah, that's our kid. Meaning that's your sister. But it's weird.
But do you have a lot of that local, like, hometown pride for where you're from? That's really how it feels? Like, if there was a famous football player from your neighborhood or your town or whatever, you'd be like, that's our kid right there.
Yeah, come on. Like, these people, like, do you know about football, soccer? Yeah. Not really.
I've seen people play it.
Yeah, so there's Man United. I support Man United, and it's all, like, Jesse Lingard and Marcus Rashford,
mm-hmm.
two superstars. They're from Manchester as well, innit? So that's right. Just, like, makes it 10 times better, innit? That's our kid and our kids.
Right.
Them man there, yeah.
You ever think about becoming a soccer hooligan?
Me?
Yeah. Just tear some shit up, go stab somebody after a game.
You know what,
yeah.
I'm not even that guy. I used to go to the games and that, but I ain't even got time.
Mm.
But if I did have time, yeah, I'd be a soccer hooligan.
Yeah, that's a lot of people's lives. That they love it so much that they feel like it's almost like a gang type.
My
thing.
All my boys go to the match. I got both Man United and Man City.
Yeah.
All my boys go there.
That's sick. Yeah, I noticed that the UK slang changes a lot too, because a lot of the drug slang that I picked up maybe like 4 or 5 years ago from some friends, I'm asking people. I was like, you guys call coke beak, right? And they're like, no.
I think it depends where you are in England as well. Up north slang is different to down south.
Yeah,
I think, well, a lot of things are, innit?
Yeah,
London's got their own little thing going on.
Yeah,
a lot of people copied London, but then like there's like Manchester and Liverpool up there, we've got some sort of different slang. It's mad.
I have this friend Mike Taylor from Warrington, and
that's so mad. My uncle's called Mike Taylor.
Really?
Yeah,
but he's not from Warrington.
Yeah,
there's probably about 50,000 people in England named Mike Taylor. But no, I remember he, because he's from Warrington, which is like this random ass town. And I remember that when we came to London together, and he was just looking around. He's just like, the people here are a bunch of freaks. Like, what do you mean? He's like, you just would never see anyone like this in Warrington.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's so different, bro. Like, it's mad. Like, if I took you to Manchester, you will just see the difference straight away. From people
more of like Manchester. A standard like working class type vibe, whereas out here it's a little bit more artsy or like just weird people and shit. Or
yeah, I feel like, and people from London won't agree to this, so no one will back me unless you're from up north. But it's a bit more like, what's the word? Not posh. I don't want to say.
I was going to say posh, which is not a word I've ever probably used before in my whole life. But
I don't want to say posh, because not everyone's posh down there. But like, it seems like everyone's a bit more well spoken, and like everyone's about the work. Yeah, everyone's about this life in London. It seems like if you walk down the street, everyone's on the way to work. Robot gone. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that's what it's like down there. Whereas in Manchester, Liverpool, them type of places, it's more like, You know what I'm saying? It's more like this, like, manager. Like, you'll understand if you've seen it. You've been man here. You know what I mean? Like, you'll understand, but man are more, like, scruffy up there and a bit more, like, it's more relaxed, it's more chilled. Like, you can walk past some people here, yeah, you say hello to them, they will not even say hello to you back. They will just look straight.
Right.
But you go to Manchester, I promise you have a conversation with anyone.
Yeah.
It's mad different, vibe.
Do you think that part of it is that the youth or, you know, people in general in London maybe feel like they have more of an opportunity to make it, whereas in Manchester, it almost feels like, don't you think a lot of people sort of feel like there's no chance of them really, like, advancing their situation?
Yeah, so, probably. Manchester's very, like, yeah, it's just Manchester. You can't, you're not really getting out of here. It's
you're
just,
not going to go get rich. Yeah, yeah. Whereas in London, everybody seems very focused. Yeah. Work.
But in London, everything's 10 times more expensive, so you've really got to go get this money to survive in London. It's like a jungle, whereas in Manchester you can sort of, like,
get on the dole
if you want to, yeah. But you can, like, you can wing it. There's ways, do you know what I'm saying? Like, people aren't out, obviously people are out here trying to survive, like, everywhere, but here it's hard. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard. I don't know. There's, like, 2-bedroom houses for 500 grand. I don't know. Like, that's just unreal to me.
Right.
From Manchester. Because you go and get, what did I just say, 500 grand? You go get a 4-bedroom house for 500 grand. A good one. A very good one. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's not as much of a race for the money in Manchester.
Yeah.
It's more just, like, calm, chilled out.
Tell me about your local chicken spot.
There's a couple.
Because I've seen you go on your make-believe date with our friend Amelia.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering about what your local spot is like. Or fish and chip spot, whatever.
If we're talking like Caribbean food.
Okay, that's what you go for?
Yeah, it's called Caribbean food, yeah. There's Gigi's and there's Peppers. Yeah, I'm from Moston. Gigi's is in Moston. But then there's Newton Heath, yeah, where it's got Peppers. Both next to each other, both banging. And also, there's Sunrise in Cheetah Mill. So there's 3 different spots.
That you sort of rotate for your meals?
Yeah, depending on what we're closer to at the time.
3 food groups.
Yeah. Banging, all 3 of them are banging. And then there's Fresh Fuel Bar, which isn't Caribbean. That's more like healthy. But like, it's more like gym food. I obviously don't go to the gym.
You thinking about getting into it?
I will. I don't know when, but I will. Yeah. And that's where you get like prawns, steak, rice, you know what I'm saying, good food, broccoli, all that. I always go there. And yeah, man, other than that, just like little,
I've seen Bugsy backstage. If you want to get a trainer, he might be down.
Bugsy's an animal.
He's big as hell.
Bugsy just starts punching midair before he goes on stage.
He looks
getting
like
pumped
it.
Up
he looks pumped. Like an MMA fighter going on stage.
Bugsy does his thing. Bugsy's training and that, he sticks to his training.
He does.
Yeah.
You never really know, because some guys just wake up looking like that.
He's into his boxing and that. Maybe he'll train me one day.
If you could get a feature on one of your songs from an American rapper that you think would be like a good fit, that you could vibe well with in the studio, etc. I've seen Lil Durk reaching out to a lot of UK rappers.
Do you know
and
what's
stuff.
Mad? I swear down, he was the first man to get onto me.
Which is crazy.
Crazy.
That's crazy that he would an ear for
that. I reckon. Oh, he's in prison now, isn't it? He's
out on bail, but he's facing this crazy ass case. Yeah.
Because I reckon if I walked past him, he wouldn't even know it was me.
Yeah.
But like, he just messaged me when he.
I think if you got his attention, he would be like, oh fuck yeah.
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah. But yeah, who would I vibe with? I'm a 21 Savage fan. I like 21 Savage, but then I can't imagine H and 21 Savage on the same.
But
song.
He's a UK rapper.
You reckon?
Do you catch that whole scandal?
I like Shoreline Mafia.
Oh shit.
My next single is a banger, and if I was to do a remix, I'd want to get Shoreline Mafia on it. I just don't know where to start.
You know, I got a lot of pull with them, so I'm gonna put in a good word, because I noticed them too. Like, they're dudes who are like getting bigger and bigger, but they have so much love for like smaller rappers, and I've seen them reach out and do songs with a lot of people who are smaller and stuff. And I think that if I showed them your shit, I think they would fuck
with
it.
I swear to God, I'll send you my new single in a minute when we're done this.
Let's go.
If you can pass it on.
You have my word. I will send it to them, because I think they would actually fuck with it.
Yeah, respect. It's a banger.
Really?
It's a banger.
I'm excited to hear it. All right, H, man, it was fucking dope to get to have a conversation. What do you want people out there to know? Anything they need to be looking for?
My single that might possibly have Shoreline. I'm not joking. My single's coming out very soon, like very, very soon, next couple of weeks. And then my EP is out August, yeah. What else is there? After the EP, my tour, September. Manchester, London, Birmingham, Liverpool, Glasgow, all them places there. Catch me in your city. If I'm not in your city, come to the closest city that I am in. No jumper shit.
Stop fucking around. If he comes to your town, you got to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Facts.
Respect.
Hey, man. Appreciate you. This has been a really good conversation.
Yeah, man. Respect.
Big fan.
Love, love, love.
No Jumper. Coolest podcast in the UK now. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, and iTunes. Appreciate you, H.
Respect, my guy.